This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
My story begins when I was a young boy.
You'll be comfy here. Your mama's old room. I'd do anything for her to be here right now.
Grandma was a tough lady with a big heart. But there was a dark shadow looming nearby. Witches. They're real. And they hate children.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture. I'm Lee Chui Lin, and with me, Shyamala Ganesan, Arvind Yuvaraj. Today, we are talking about the witches.
No more intro. That's it.
I think I can leave it to you guys to take it from here.
I thought we didn't want to start at a low point, but anyway, I'm a huge fan of the book that this is based on, The Witches by Roald Dahl. And there has been one adaptation of this already, which was in 1990. So this is exactly 30 years later. But yeah, as far as adaptations go, this is my least favorite type of adaptation in that it has no reason to exist.
So I haven't read the book. I haven't seen the original. And I wish that I had, so that I would have some point of reference or something to compare with. But in another sense, I'm glad that I didn't, because then this thing just stands on its own. And even when it stands on its own, it's not a good movie. Like, it is a mess. Like, I have no idea. Like you said, I have no idea why it exists. I have no idea how these people signed on for this film, because it's a stacked cast. It's got, like, powerful performers. Anne Hathaway is in it. Octavia Spencer is in it. Stanley Tucci is in it. So it boils down to it being one of those, like, big budget productions that they managed to get a bunch of people to star in. And you will forget about this movie in half an hour if you get to the end point and if you dedicate as much time to it as we did.
I genuinely found this movie really forgettable, except there were some sequences where I was looking at it through the eyes of a child, or trying to, and, you know, trying to think whether or not these images are visceral, whether or not this is the kind of thing where whether you like it or not. So, for example, Tim Curry as Pennywise is permanently like imprinted in my brain, and I just can't get rid of it no matter how hard I try. And I wondered whether there were elements of this that were the same, because tonally The Witches is a bit odd. So we should say that, of course, it's based on the Roald Dahl book, and it is, I mean, quite a dark story, because it essentially tells the story of a child and his grandma, who the child has already been through, like, emotional trauma, lost the parents and so on, and then they discover that witches are real. And not only are witches real, they're, like, you know, really evil. They're not sort of the necessarily fairy tale witches. They're closer to the Baba Yaga interpretation of what a witch is. And so then they kind of have to take on a bunch of witches in a hotel, because that's where they find themselves. So tonally, the book was always very funny, because Roald Dahl is always funny, but also quite dark and bleak, because that's also a Roald Dahl thing.
And it's almost like the film doesn't know where it wants to strike that balance, because on the one hand, you know, the witches, their mission is to wipe out children. And the book kind of never really explains where they are from. They exist in human form, but they're not humans. They sort of have these disguises that they wear in the human world. And so in the movie, it very quickly gets to a point where they remove their disguises so that they don't look quite human anymore. But I don't know, there's something about the pacing of this film and the way they do these reveals. Because I of course, went and rewatched the 1990s one, which I really like, after watching this. And I realized that one of the reasons why that one is so terrifying is the build-up. So you have this slow reveal step by step, the way you would read about it in a book. In this movie, it sort of just speeds through. I don't even know what they're rushing towards, because this film doesn't really have a particular climax, and it feels sort of like, what am I supposed to be afraid of exactly?
So I didn't feel like it was speeding through at all. If, like, anything, I felt it was going way too slow. like, the first half an hour is literally just Octavia Spencer's grandma character telling you about witches, like again and again, it's flashback after exposition, and then it's some dream sequence. And I'm like, oh my God, like, when do we get to the actual film? And then it picks up when they move into like this this hotel thing. And even then there's a bunch of expositions, like she's telling her grandson about what witches are. And then he sees like weird images in the sky and the lightning. I was honestly waiting for something to happen. And nothing much ever happened.
So I think that a lot of that comes from the fact that this was directed by Robert Zemeckis. And Robert Zemeckis is somebody who has a lot of visual acuity and mastery, right? Like if you think about the famous falling leaf of Forrest Gump, as well as just all the other Gumpisms, right? Sitting next to John Lennon, shaking hands with Richard Nixon, playing ping pong. Like those were all early examples of Robert Zemeckis stretching visual effects and trying out different things. And so I think that you see some of that here as well, considering the fact that Guillermo del Toro is also, my God, of all people, is also involved.
And Alfonso Cuarón was given a producer's credit. I'm like, what are these people?
However, they are all people who like to play with, you know, introducing visual tricks when it comes to horror. So I think that that's where a lot of the explaining and the seeing things in the light and like really going to town in terms of trying to show you what witches are in a fun visual way, I think that's where a lot of it comes from. Having said that, not to give too much away, mice play a big role in this film. There's a lot of mice. And I think at this point, post Ratatouille, post, you know, so many, post Fievel, we've seen so many different better iterations of mice. So you do wonder why in some cases the visual effects are, you know, they're working so hard on it. And then in other cases, they seem to have dropped the ball. That's the other thing.
Actually, overall, the visual effects were so bad. The CGI was really bad. There's a scene with a chicken. There's a scene with snakes. None of them look real. And yes, the mice, oh my God, like because there are three of them as well, and one of them's a little portly, all I could think of was Alvin and the Chipmunks, and not even as good visuals as in, I don't know, the third version of Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Like the Chipmunks Road Trip or something.
Yes, even that looked better than the mice in this one.
Or Gus and Jack and Cinderella.
Oh, yes.
Gus.
Yeah. I think if this film wasn't a Zemeckis film, I wouldn't have hated it as much. The fact that Zemeckis is attached to this put slightly high expectations in my head. But this looks like someone who grew up watching a bunch of Tim Burton movies and wanted to make a Tim Burton film and didn't know how, and then referenced like the later Tim Burton films, like the bad ones, and went, I want to make this thing again. So this is the result of that. Why someone like Robert Zemeckis is even on this project, or how he went so wrong, I will never know. Was it like studio interference? Was it like, you know, a bunch of things they told him not to do or to do? It's like super confusing. I cannot figure out how this movie even is.
So the Tim Burton comparison, I think, is particularly apt, not just because of the offbeat story, but also because of something you said earlier, Sharmila, which is the lack of peaks and valleys. The whole movie is very flat, you know. They're constantly in a state of crisis and threat because, of course, the witches are around, they're hunting children, and you know what they are. So, of course, you are in more danger than others. I get all that. But that kind of doesn't address the fact that at no point is there a big centerpiece. Yeah. At no point is there a big action chase. You know, nothing really happens. And I think that situating it all in the hotel actually works against it. I guess tonally, the movie feels very flat. Everything feels samey and you're not taken on a journey.
And the movie starts with the boy, the central boy character, narrating it as an adult. And so you kind of know there's no real threat, right?
Because there's that, yes.
Yeah, from the start, you already know that this boy who's supposedly in so much danger from these witches was actually fine in some form. So that takes away any narrative tension.
Yeah, and the boy is being voiced as an adult by Chris Rock, who I'm 100% sure had no idea he was in this, like he was just reading lines, because the tone of his voice is not for this movie at all. You can see that. It sounds like he's doing one of his comedies. Chris Rock is a good actor when he's invested, and obviously he's not invested, and you can literally hear it in his in the way he speaks, which is a whole other thing, which I couldn't get. Every time he would speak in the film, I would be taken out of it. And I'd be like, I wish it was someone else, because it didn't have to be him at all.
I have so much to say. We haven't even gotten into the performances, aside from Chris Rock, who's hardly the worst offender. So we'll get to that after this. We're talking today about The Witches. If you've seen it, if you saw the original, if you're a fan of Roald Dahl, you know, let us know what you think. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. And you can, of course, also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ladies, I have a plan. Vondro, the transform a child into a mouse.
Why are we mouses?
Mice?
Whatever!
We'll never let you get away with your filthy, evil plot.
Who's gonna stop me?
Hello, you're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn Shyamalan Arvin, and today we're reviewing The Witches, and it's time to talk about Anne Hathaway.
You went there.
Who's Scottish and Russian and just German.
She's everything.
Traveling. I mean, like, you know who I was thinking of? I was thinking of Gru. Because Steve Carell famously said that Gru's accent is kind of a non-accent. He just kind of mishmashed a bunch of things together and it made his kids laugh. And so that's what he did. And the thing is, Gru is wildly successful and very funny. And it's almost completely because of the accent. But there is a consistency to Gru's accent. When you hear it, you know it's Gru. This one, on the other hand, hello boy, and I'm just like,
garlic. I don't want garlic.
There's so many moments where I'm like, what exactly are you doing? So let's talk about Anne Hathaway.
So she had no chance with me from the beginning, because Angelica Houston plays the Grand High Witch in the original remake, and she is so good. She's so genuinely terrifying in that role, and also she's aided greatly with actual practical effects by Jim Henson, because the movie was produced by Jim Henson. And so in comparison, this just feels like a very, very weird... I mean, the best I can say is Anne Hathaway commits. But commits to what exactly? I'm honestly not sure, because... Yeah, why would you commit this much to such a bad performance? Everything about it is so bad.
So I'm going to admit something. I like watching like high caliber actors sort of do these projects, because it's fun seeing them. It's fun seeing them try. So this is like the Tommy Lee Jones effect, right? In Batman Forever, it's Eddie Redmayne in Jupiter Ascending. There've been a bunch of these projects where you get like really good actors to play roles that they shouldn't be playing. So I like Anne Hathaway when she's in a movie. I'll watch that movie because she's in it. I think she's a really good like actor. She can
Agreed.
Pull off a lot of... Yeah, she's
Agreed.
so good. And watching her do this is fun in a weird way. It's like watching a car crash. It's bad, but you cannot take your eyes off because of how it just gets worse and worse and worse as the movie goes along.
Look, I admire the commitment. I think that she's super duper committed to the thing. I mean, and they do weird things with her face, because of course, you know, witches have huge mouths that stretch from ear to ear. Mm. They have their nostrils flare like 8 inches, I think it was said in the film, when they're sniffing out children. And you get to see all this play out on Anne Hathaway.
With bad CGI.
But again, I think this is one of those things where for kids, this would be amusing at least, you know, to watch an adult go through all this. So I admire the commitment. But she's not the only good actor in this film, you know. It's really kind of frightening. Stanley Tucci is in this film. Mm-hmm. Octavia Spencer. There are Oscar winners aplenty in this movie.
Octavia Spencer probably had the best deal off the lot, because she wasn't terrible.
She talks to mice a lot, though.
She talks to mice, bad-looking mice. But she also got to do some really cute dancing, which I liked. So honestly, the favorite thing for me about this film was the first 15 minutes when none of the CGI showed up and it was just her and the grandson. Because they switched the story setting as well. In the original, it was a boy and his grandmother in England. But in this one, it's actually in 1960s America. And they're
in the South, in fact.
In the South, in Alabama, and they're African-American characters. So that was a nice sort of twist.
Which they didn't do anything with.
Which doesn't pan out into anything, though.
So I wanted to bring this up with you guys. And it's an actual question, like a genuine question. What is the strategy when signing people for these projects? Like from a studio perspective, there has to be like a strategy, right? There has to be that one person they use to bait everybody else.
Anne Hathaway is the Grand High Witch. I would think that would be this one.
Is it Anne Hathaway or is it Robert Zemeckis? So do you get Zemeckis first and then go to Hathaway and go, hey, Zemeckis signed on, so you need to sign on. Then you have Zemeckis and Hathaway, and then you go to Octavia Spencer and go, hey, these two people are in it, you should sign on. And then Stanley Tucci, so on and so forth.
I think Chris Rock was last.
No, he didn't read the script. He just had his lines and he did it from home. It's so obvious.
Zoomed it in.
But obviously, there has to be a way of doing this. It's a domino effect, right? So who's the first domino?
Anne Hathaway is the biggest domino, I'm sure of that. Mm. But I also think that this is peak nonsense 2020 filmmaking in the sense that it takes a lot of the things that we've been saying over and over again we have problems with: the lack of practical effects, the lack of an original story, because again you're taking a story that is really old by now and that in fact has also been already made into a movie and you're making it again, so it's got already those two strikes against it. And then you add to that what we're talking about, the fact that you are kind of plonking enormous amounts of crappy CGI, you know, on top of a story that's lacking stuff. You're trying to introduce a social justice element without actually wanting to expand or do anything with it. So I see this film as, yes, the domino effect is a huge part of it. But the other thing is, it's just like playing bad 2020 movie bingo. It gets the bingo.
You know, if you told me that they ran out of budget halfway through, like, oh, they had all of these huge plans and then, you know, the pandemic came along and budgets were slashed. And so, hey, that mop with a ball on it is actually now just going to be a pencil drawing. I would have believed it, because that's what this film looks like. It's like, guys, we thought we were going to shoot in 5 different places, but it's all just in this hotel. And so we're just going to focus on Anne Hathaway. I would have believed it, because that's what this film looks like.
Do you think it would have worked better as a series on HBO?
No. Dear God.
It would have worked better as a nothing. Like not made at all. Just watch the 1990 version. It's awesome.
Just read the book.
Yeah. Do both of those things.
I don't like bagging on... It's actually not that fun. People think it's fun to sit here and bag on a movie, but it actually really isn't. I didn't have high hopes per se, but I wanted... Whenever I watch children's movies that I don't super love, and that happens a lot even with like the Disney live-action remakes, I always think about the argument that this is being made for the kids of today, that it's really about creating new moments for them. And so I tried to watch this movie through that lens, and I think it's a bit weird because it is the stuff that's dark is too dark for kids. The stuff that's light is way too light for adults. And so you end up, and teenagers are just too cool for this. So you end up with a movie that kind of goes nowhere and pleases nobody.
I think you really nailed the point there, because honestly, I cannot tell who this film is for. If it's for fans of the book, they're going to hate it. I have no doubt about that. Because if you love the book, you would think this such a disservice. But if it's for children, it's kind of a weird sort of thing. And adults would just be bored. So yeah, I think it's just a film. And I think often we find that the films that we end up all hating are not films that tried to do something and failed, but films that just didn't try at all. And to me, it feels like that. A movie that they just ticked a bunch of boxes and decided to get done.
So this goes back to the Tim Burton thing we said, right? Because although his movies are bad, they work for kids. Like, I don't know how Alice in Wonderland made $1 billion, but I know that a lot of kids watched it and kids enjoyed it. So it might not work for like different demographics. So as much as we make fun of new Tim Burton, he knows what he's doing, as opposed to whatever is happening in this film. So you're right. It's like, at least pick a side, you know, like make the movie for someone. Like, even if the grown-ups don't understand it, at least we know there are a bunch of people watching it and enjoying it and want to buy toys, or, you know, at least they would want a sequel. I don't think anyone's asking for a sequel for The Witches.
I forgot the movie halfway while watching it, so there's that.
Sharmila's asking for a nothing. I think that tells us a lot about where we are with this film. Okay, we've been talking about the star-studded everything of The Witches, because it's star-studded filmmaking, behind the scenes gang, and then in front of the camera it's also like this huge bunch of actors, and the whole movie just ends up being sort of very middling and disappointing. So let us know if you've seen The Witches, if you are a fan of scary children's movies. You know, is there a better one that you'd like to recommend? WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio, and write to us at movies@bfm.my. You can find us, by the way, on both Twitter and Instagram on at BFM Popcorn. You're listening to Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.